Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Amazing
way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. And if you just tuned in, if you've been listening already, thanks for hanging around. We appreciate your business. That's something you don't hear much lately these days, is it? Somebody saying thank you for your business. I hope you're doing that. Hope when you write someone a letter who's doing business with you. I hope when they come in your store, when they come in your business, when they call you and you're talking to a customer before you go, I hope before you let them go, you say, and when you're writing that letter or when you're writing that email, I hope you say, "Hey John, thank you for the business. Sue, thank you for your business." And you know what? If they're good customers, you might even want to say, comma, and thanks especially for your friendship. I think we need to do more of that these days. And somebody who knows all about that, because I know he treats his customers like that, his clients like that, that's our good friend Rick Pinion, the president of Pinion Financial Services and our financial planning expert on the Brain Trust, Rick Pinion. Welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, it's nice to be with you and your listeners.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. And folks, as I have said all these many times that Rick's been on the show over the last 7-plus years, he has something he has to say because Rick operates in the world of full disclosure. As a securities representative, as someone who recommends securities to his clients, and so he has some sexy language he wants to give us. Rick, go ahead.
Well, thank you, Jim. I'll take a deep breath before I begin. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Listeners should always consult with their investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through SunAmerica Securities Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC, and Pinion Financial Services and SunAmerica Securities are not affiliated. And the listener should remember that there's risk involved in all investments. Thank
you know,
very much.
Financial planning groupies are swooning right now, Rick. They just love to hear you say that.
Well, if they got the alarm clock on this, I hope wake them up.
That's right. Hey, Rick, one of the things you want to talk about today is understanding the different levels of benefits that an employee can derive from an employer and how these work to the benefits of both. Some of them they have different advantages, different motivations, depending on the relationship you have with the employee. Talk to us about some of these.
Yeah, in fact, I guess a general understanding of these is very important. And what we're talking about here is a way to both reward employees to give them something extra for a job well done, as well as retaining your good employees. And so small business owners have limited resources, so obviously they have to be careful of which ones that they participate with. But they're all good. They're just different. And different plans apply to different businesses.
And some of these we know pretty well, and some of these options that you're going to mention we're not so familiar with.
That's true. If we take it from the basic level, I think everybody's familiar with a bonus. I mean, people love to get bonuses and receive bonuses, especially around the holiday time or when a person's done something extraordinary. It's nice to get a little pat on the back as well as something extra in their paycheck. And so salary bonuses are currently deductible to the employer. The employer can pick and choose who they want to give them to. It's currently taxable to the employee, but it's the basic level of employee benefit.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. It's easy to understand. Makes employees feel good. May make them work a little bit harder for a job well done. There's few rules or restrictions. The only thing the IRS gets involved with is what they call unreasonable compensation, which seems to be a fuzzy area because no one knows what's really reasonable.
How could W-2 income be reasonable or unreasonable? Why would the IRS get involved in that? Because a bonus is a W-2 income just like a salary is.
It's amazing when you hear these words reasonable, isn't it, Jim? You wonder what the IRS
well,
is thinking.
Well, that's kind of an odd thing to contemplate, isn't the IRS unreasonable?
They're the experts,
typically,
right?
You know, not too many people put those two terms together.
Right, oxymoron.
Yeah.
But
so
anyway,
go ahead.
So I was going to say the salary bonus is perhaps the first level. that we think of when we're thinking of rewarding employees. The second level, moving up the scale a little bit, getting more sophisticated, is what we call pensions, profit-sharing plans, maybe some group benefits. Again, we're trying to do something nice for the employees and get a tax deduction for the employer. It's currently deductible to the employer. So
Rick, hold on to that thought. I'm going to start that when we come back after these messages. I want to have one more question about the bonuses. Do you ever see bonuses as being structured, something that's more of a structured plan rather than just something that the employer decided to pay? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, should I wait till we get back from the break?
Okay, yeah, all right. We're getting pretty close to the break here. So we'll be right back. I'm going to get Rick to answer that question. I'd like to see what he sees from his clients. What is he seeing out there with regard to structured bonuses as opposed to unstructured bonuses? And then we're going to get into the pensions and the profit sharing. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's like a dream come true. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Rick Pinion, longtime original member of our Brain Trust. Rick's the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services. Rick, give us your website, please.
It's www.pinionfinancial. Pinion Financial, by the way, is one word, and Pinion is spelled P-I-N-I-O-N. It's just like opinion without the O.
Without the O. Check that out when you get a chance. There's a lot of good information there, folks, that Rick makes available for free to you. A lot of calculators and a lot of good information there that you can find, and then you can check him out too if you decide that you want to have him help you with your financial planning, or if you'd like for him to help you find somebody in your area, maybe closer to you. I know he'll do that because he's done that in the past for some of our audience members. Rick, I asked you the question about if you've ever seen any bonus systems that were more structured rather than just sort of off the cuff. What do you think?
Boy, that's an excellent question. I had a chance to think about that over the break. And unfortunately, many salary bonuses are what we call ad hoc, which mm-hmm. means that they're not really highly structured based on, let's say, performance. It seems to me that as a business owner, the best ones are tied to some sort of maybe the owner can keep it to themselves and not share it with the employees, but they can use some sort of measurement device. Mm-hmm. And when an employee reaches a certain performance, they get like maybe 1% of the profits or something like that. And I think that goes a long way towards adding some structure, because without structure, if you give a bonus to a person 1 year, but you don't give it to them the next year, they're going to get very upset.
That's exactly right.
Unless they know what the rules are.
Because if you give it to them... It almost becomes an entitlement without any kind of methodology, without any kind of logic. It really becomes an entitlement, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does.
So I really think encourage you to find somebody to help you to help you determine a logic for your salary bonuses, so that you can justify it and so that you can defend it if you don't do it the next year, or if you do it for one person and you don't do it for another one. Rick, let's move on. Let's go ahead and talk about the pension and profit-sharing plans.
Yeah, now we're getting into, when we think of profit-sharing, we're thinking of sharing some of the profits with the employees because they've done a good job, as well as sharing some of the additional profits with the owner of the business. And here we're talking about the more formal type of retirement plans. When we hear the word profit-sharing, many people think of, like, for example, a profit-sharing 401k or just a regular profit-sharing plan. The advantages to these, let's take a look at some of the benefits. Number one, we're talking about another deduction to the employer. Highly motivates the employer when they can deduct something or write it off.
Mm-hmm.
It's not currently taxable to the employee, because remember, anything that goes into these qualified pension plans are pre-tax, and the money grows tax-deferred until it's taken out.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it's like the best of both worlds for both parties at that point, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, let's take a look at some of the price for this. First of all, you cannot, we call it discriminate. You can't pick and choose participants. There's a very strong rule called ERISA, the Employment Retirement Income and Security Act, that was passed in 1974, which is very strict in terms of who's eligible and who's not. So we do have some fairly cumbersome rules and we've got to pay strict limits on the benefit amounts.
Now, when you say you can't discriminate, does that mean that if you make it available to one employee, you have to make it available to all employees?
Yeah, there has to be a written document.
What about level of participation? Can some participate more than others? As long as all of them have it available.
Yeah, see, the key is having it available and have freedom of choice for the employees to participate or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the IRS looks
right.
at.
But if the employer contributes to these plans, can the employer discriminate in their contribution?
No.
Okay.
Let's say that they give 10%, they've got to give 10% across the board.
Mm-hmm. So the enrollment in the plan and the employer's participation in the plan has to be equal to everyone. It has to be the same for everybody.
And has to follow the IRS guidelines.
Right. There we got that IRS in there again. those reasonable people. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
So I was just going to say that most people, as I'm talking to your listeners out there this morning, Jim, most people probably have heard of these plans or under one. I mean, most people have either a 401k,
right.
They may have a SEP IRA, we call it, or a simple IRA. There's a whole host of these plans for the small business owner.
Which, by the way, Rick has talked about many times on the show before. And if you go back, if you find his place in our brain trust, and you go to the archives that he and I have created over the last 7 or plus years, you can see you can hear him, Rick, talking about some of these plans in different archives. So you might want to avail yourselves of that. And you can do that at our website, which is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's interesting you mention that, Jim, because part of my job when I sit down with a business owner is comparing and contrasting these different plans and helping the owner decide which plan is best for his or her business. And many times people are confused about which plan is best. So we have these little checklists, and I'll be happy to make those available to your listeners.
I appreciate that.
To kind of narrow down which plan would meet their needs, which is suitable for them.
Can they get that checklist on your website?
I'm not sure if it's on a website, but if they email me, I'll be happy to email one back to them.
All right. Give us the email address.
Okay. It's pinion@pinionfinancial.com.
All right. So if you want to check the checklist, and remind us what the checklist exactly is now.
In other words, it's a little thing where you check off different things you're looking for in a pension plan, and it'll help narrow down the scope
so
you find one that's suitable for your particular business.
Thank you for making that available. By the way, folks, if you know Rick, and you should know him by now, you know that there are no strings attached. This is just the kind of guy he is. And, Rick, I appreciate you doing that. And that's pinion@pinionfinancial.com if you want that little checklist. Rick, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we get back after this break, we're going to talk about a third method of compensating our employees. And this one is something you might not know as much about. Tintil, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and don't forget to check out our blog. It's brand new. I say brand new. It's a couple weeks old. And if you haven't checked it out lately, check it out. We got some more new things coming up on the blog that I think you're going to like. So I hope you'll check that out soon. And don't forget to check out Rick Pinion's website, which is pinionfinancial.com. Pinion, just like it sounds, financial.com. Rick, we're talking about Rick Pinion is our guest, as you know, and we're talking about different ways to compensate your employees. The first was salary bonuses, which we all know about, and the second one is something you probably all know, most of us know about, and that's the idea of pensions, profit-sharing plans, and group benefits like insurance, that sort of thing. Rick, anything else about that before we move on to number three?
No, in fact, I was going to say I really enjoy coming on the station with you, and I was thinking how fast the time goes. You know, it's just, gosh, a half hour goes by so quickly.
Well, time flies when you're having fun, Rick.
It sure does, and I really enjoy talking to your listeners because I figure they're taking their time to listen this morning.
Well, they're taking notes, Rick. They're just writing they're hanging on your every word.
Well, if they can pick up one or two good ideas, it makes
exactly.
The whole show worthwhile.
Well, we couldn't do without you, Rick. We appreciate all the time that you give us and all the great information that you provide us and the body of work that you've deposited with us over the years. We thank you for that. Rick, let's talk about an area of compensating employees that probably a lot of small business owners don't know much about. Tell us about it.
Yeah, in fact, it's interesting. It's a little treasure that I'd like to share with you this morning, and it's an area called deferred compensation. Some people call it non-qualified deferred compensation. And it's one of those exciting type of benefits. I call it frosting on the cake. It's, it's designed for people that would like to go above and beyond the regular profit sharing and pension plans and bonuses and do something special either for themselves as the employer or to do something special for their employees. It's a very, very powerful, probably one of the most powerful tools that can be used to hold on to an employee.
Especially a key employee. Typically, you see this with really key employees, don't you?
Yeah, it's almost like golden handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
A person really doesn't want to leave, even if they're offered a lot by a competitor, because this is a magnet that holds them to their current employer. Anyway, let me talk a little bit about deferred compensation, if I could, Jim.
Okay, go ahead.
Deferred compensation is where money is set aside for an employee. There's no limit on the benefit amounts. It's not currently taxable to the employee. Can you imagine that? And what happens?
But it will be one day.
Yes.
It's deferred.
When they take it out, when they retire, then it will become taxable income to them, and that's when it's deductible to the organization, the corporation.
It's not deductible at the time of the giving at all, is it?
Right. Right.
Now, does this include stock options?
It could. In other words, stock options is one way to defer.
Because we hear a lot about how some companies have given employees stock options and not deducted them in the current period, because the government is looking into that. They're considering, if they haven't already, requiring companies to deduct those stock options as current expenses.
Yeah, and by the way, I'd like to draw a distinction between what we call traditional deferred comp and stock options, because they're two entirely different benefits.
Right.
When I think of deferred compensation, I'm thinking of setting up an account for an employee, may or may not include stock, and basically what we're doing is we're talking about a way to set aside money for future delivery to that employee. And normally we don't use stock. Normally we use either insurance products.
Fund it with an insurance plan.
Insurance products. And the reason we do that is because the insurance builds tax deferred.
Right.
So the employer doesn't have to pay taxes on the current earnings of this particular plan. If we put in just a regular savings account, then the employer is going to be taxed on the earnings. Also, if we use insurance products and the person passes away, the employer's paid back. Mm-hmm. They get cost recovery on the money that they put into it.
And the employee's family gets the death benefit of the insurance policy, don't they?
Yes, well, kind of indirectly, because remember, the employer's the beneficiary of the policy, so the employer would take the money and then pay that to the employee's family. So the employee's family would benefit under that scenario.
Who do you recommend we contact if we want to set up one of these?
Well, if you'd like some more information, you can email me. I've got lots of literature on this particular subject. I've got some.
But do we need to have a financial planner and a CPA and a tax attorney, typically a team of folks involved in this?
You took the words out of my mouth. Whenever you get into these type of advanced type of programs, you definitely need to check with your CPA. You need to check with an attorney, because we have to set up a trust to hold the funds.
Got to wrap it up here, Rick. Go ahead.
Okay. And work as part of a team.
With the financial planner,
yeah.
Rick, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Okay.
We'll see you next time. Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.